This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
Q's joining us here in about 15 minutes. Syracuse off their big win, knocking off Louisville.
Yep.
And more guests coming up in hour three.
Coach Hilsman's team's on the road in Chapel Hill tonight, part of a big night of ACC basketball. NC State Louisville, the headliner. You'll see it here at 8 o'clock on ACC Network, a top 10 matchup, maybe the biggest night, biggest game in all of basketball tonight. Had three games last night on the men's card. The big story there is Georgia Tech's win over number 5 Louisville at McCamish Pavilion on Bobby Crimmins' court last night. Jose Alvarado steered Josh Pastner's team to its biggest win of the season, and puts the Jackets right there in the glob now. We got a four-way tie for 8 this morning at 6-8, featuring Pittsburgh, who lost at home last night to Clemson in a game we probably haven't talked enough about. The 72-52 win by Brad Brownell's team. Alamir Dawes had 18, Tevin Mack 16, and Amir Sims off the flu bed had a dozen. And got to be honest, the Tigers shot it great, Pack, from the floor last night. And as a result, Clemson finds itself with an interesting weekend ahead. They'll get Louisville at Little John Coliseum on Saturday afternoon. And Pittsburgh, by the way, travels to Virginia Tech, who's had a week off for a 6 o'clock game here on ACC Network.
As we pointed out, BC and Pitt last night had opportunities to get to 500.
Yes, they did. Yeah, in the league.
And they both just got blown out.
Yeah. Boston College is probably the one that surprised me the most. Isaiah Wong had 21 last night for the Canes. But in all honesty, Miami fell behind early and then used a run and never looked back. And BC could not answer. The Eagles, by the way, now go home Sunday night with NC State visiting Chestnut Hill and a stretch where they finish up with some home games here.
So four of the next five.
Yeah, four of the next five are at home. And we're going to see what happens after Miami put four guys in double figures on them last night.
And, you know, and we talked about Miami. Jim Larranaga has been waiting for his backcourt to get healthy and whole again.
Yeah.
And they did, and they put on a show last night. I mean, that game was not competitive.
No.
And I thought it would be.
Yeah, I actually thought Boston College would win the game last night.
I did too. I'll be honest with
you. It's a long trip. It's the longest trip in the ACC, but still, I felt like where BC was off the overtime win in Blacksburg over the weekend – I just kind of felt like BC was in a position where they could take advantage of that, but not to be. And Miami gets Wake Forest at home this weekend. Isaiah Wong was tremendous last night, 21 points after going for 23 on Saturday at Florida State. Again, the benefit to Miami, hard to see at the time. The injury to Likes and McGusty allowed Wong and Harlan Beverly to get some really, really critical experience minutes, if you will. There's Stone punching at home. And as a result, Miami was able to benefit along the way because Wong and Beverly have really, really been good. And they've now got Likes back and McGusty back, and we'll see what happens. Miami's dangerous when they're 100%.
No doubt. And as I pointed out to you last hour, between Wake Forest and Miami, two teams have really struggled this season. One of them will have a 2-0 week, guaranteed. One of them. One of them is going to be sitting there waking up on Sunday morning going, you know what? Life's pretty good, man.
Just how Birds big are a chirping. Jump are you looking at there, Mr. Carnegie?
I'm just telling you that one of them is sitting there at a perfect 2-0 week. And a week ago, you're thinking, man, stick a fork in both of them. They're done. Catch ya.
And you also said, too, Carolina loses to Virginia. They're going to be your 15.
I think so. I mean, Wes,
I'm not with you. I'm with you on that.
You can't have the effort or lack thereof that you did against Wake Forest. And then you get here comes Virginia, who's still got a lot to play for, and they're going to, you know, shovel that defense down your throat, and you're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just expect to see more effort from North Carolina. I thought we'd get that effort against Wake Forest, quite frankly.
And didn't.
And in fact, got the exact opposite of what I thought we were going to get.
That is the concerning part about where North Carolina is.
I mean, you're coming off the Duke game. I know it was disappointing with the L, but, man, I thought the effort was fantastic in that game.
Yep.
And, you know, they got to get Robinson back from that standpoint, but you know, if you're just going to kind of roll the ball out there and you've got players saying, well, we probably still listen to the coach's game plan and scouting report, that to me is a bad sign.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? It's the middle of February.
Yep.
It's not like you're sitting here 22-3 and just had a tough night like Louisville did last night. Man, this has been an uphill fist fight, and you got guys, star players, saying, "Nah, we should probably still listen to Coach." Yeah, hello? Anybody home? Come on.
So, how many times have we heard a team this year after a loss say, "Well, we didn't really listen to the scouting report"?
There were quotes last night. Same thing.
Kind of part of the job, isn't it?
Listen, I know it's a grind, right? Yeah. And this year you got 20 conference games for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing's been going on since early November when you play the conference games in week one, day one, right?
Yep.
So it's a grinder. We get it. And we talked about the lack of experience coming back in this league. These are young teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you kind of see some teams hitting the walls. And as good as Louisville has been this year, last night they just didn't look interested.
Yeah.
I mean, for the first time in a long, long time. I mean,
Jordan Wara, we talk about a guy who's been really, really good at times during the course of the year. Last night, Jordan Wara at times didn't look interested.
Right. I mean, it just happens. I mean, this is when you have really good teams have a dose of this last night,
mm-hmm.
you can imagine teams that are losing a lot that just kind of become completely disinterested on a Tuesday night game or a Wednesday night game. So, you know, that's why it's college basketball, man. You turn this thing on. I don't care if it's an ACC game or Pac-12 or whatever. You'll see some crazy stuff literally every night of the week. So, you know, who's interested in playing? Who's got some pride? Yeah, you start finding out about your team this time of year. So, you know, North Carolina, Virginia this weekend, the Hoos have a ton to play for. You kind of know what you're going to get with them.
Hmm.
I'm kind of curious to see what North Carolina does after really just basically rolling the ball out and stinking it up against Wake Forest.
Yeah. Here's Chris Mack, by the way, last night after the ball game in Atlanta. He was not happy at all with Jordan Wara.
5'11", 6-foot, tough kid on him. And we run post-up plays, and Jordan can't figure out how to be tough enough to hold a guy off and lay the ball in.
Mm. That doesn't sound good, Coach.
That was a hello, I'm talking to you wake-up call is what that was.
Yeah.
Jordan Wara will be fine. He'll bounce back.
Yeah.
But he got outplayed last night. Happens. You know, Jeff Capel last night, you know, and I like Pitt's team, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
His quote after the game was, "We were bad across the board. In every aspect of the game, we weren't very good." Hey, you know what? I would have thought, if you'd have told me the final score of that game was going to be a 20-point game, I'd have gone, yeah, you know, Pitt's going to beat Clemson by 20. Wrong. And, you know, you just did the Tigers. They're fresh off of just having a miserable road trip at Virginia in the wake. Couldn't score. They shoot, what, 50 and 59%?
Right.
Last night? I mean, where'd that come from? I know Sims is back in the lineup coming off the flu. That helps. They shot lights out last night against Pitt.
Yeah. By the way, the standings kind of reflect a little bit of the chaos from last night. Louisville is a game ahead in the win column now of Duke at 11-2. Florida State is 10-3. Virginia, two games back. They're fourth, a game ahead of a group at 5, of Syracuse and NC State, both at 7-6. Notre Dame behind them. Then the four teams at 6-8.
Globe-centric.
Yep. Virginia Tech behind them, Wake, Miami, and Carolina is 15th this morning. So.
That's what it is.
May in fact be there.
The mighty glob.
On accounting Monday. Yeah, the glob, and shout out to the German Pitt fan on Twitter who said the glob got globbier last night.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did. It even got tighter at the top, as you pointed out, with Louisville now getting a little bit closer with Duke, Florida State. Again, I told you there was three things I know on February the 12th, now February 13th. We've got three really good teams in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite what happened with Louisville last night, still a really good team. I think Virginia's the fourth best team in the league. Now, they may not end up at four, but I think they're the fourth best team. No better than that.
Look at this right here.
And I think North Carolina's 15th. Those are the three things I know right now about the league.
Look at that right there.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that number. Those numbers don't mean anything to me. They don't.
All right.
You know why?
Why's that?
Because Louisville's in first place.
I know. I hear you.
I mean, who would you rather be today, Louisville, Duke, or Florida State?
Ooh.
How about that question? Ooh. Forget what BPI says that Duke's at 84%. Forget that a second. Who would you want to be of the three today?
Right now, today?
Right,
Duke.
You're getting out of
Duke.
You'd rather be Duke.
Duke.
Why?
Well, number one, I think that they're playing better than the other two. okay, finding more about themselves at this juncture of the season, whereas you got Florida State.
Did you think they played well against North Carolina?
No, but I thought they either. Bounced back and showed tremendous grit well Monday night.
Did you think they played well against BC
no,
on the run?
They did not play well against BC. Either. But
I've been more impressed with Louisville than Duke here the last 2 weeks, despite what happened last night.
Well, up until this weekend, I would have said the same thing. I thought Louisville was impressive Saturday in the second half when Virginia threw a haymaker.
They were terrific.
But unlike Louisville, Duke responded to Carolina, found a way somehow, you know, bounces and everything else.
It helps when the team you're playing can't make a free throw.
Well, okay.
I guess
certainly.
That was part of the
but
game plan.
Monday night is to be applauded.
No doubt.
Okay.
I was impressed with it.
All right, so I'm going to take Louisville, Virginia Saturday and tell you that Wednesday night, Louisville no-showed it.
I'd rather be Louisville.
Okay. But see, to me, Duke answered the call. Louisville in the last 72, 96 hours didn't answer the call. The Monday night win, after that game Monday night, Mike Krzyzewski was ebullient about his basketball team.
He should have because they toughened it out. It was a Mike Krzyzewski toughness win.
Right. 48 hours of finding out who you are.
Right.
Okay. Chris Mack's team last Saturday against Virginia, they had to be challenged and they responded.
No doubt.
But did they go validate that last night?
No.
Okay. Simply based on the last week, Duke. Now, if you tell me to go back a month, probably changes. In fact, I'd tell you Florida State's involved in that because I think Florida State, for the time being, is still the deeper basketball team with more weapons 1-12 than anybody else. But right now, the vibe in the last week, absolutely Duke. That Saturday to Monday thing counts. Counts a lot. I don't care if it's Duke or anybody else doing it. When you win a rivalry game the way they did and then turn around 48 hours later and find another way to beat a really good team,
mm-hmm.
I think there's some impact there that has lasting effect on Duke. Does it mean they can win the regular season? I don't know that. I see what the BPI says. But to me, what Duke did Saturday to Monday, that proves something. Because Louisville had Virginia trying to exercise that demon, and they did. And then turned around and went to El Dorito last night in Atlanta. And look, all credit to Georgia Tech.
They played great.
They did play great. Again against Louisville. But today I'd rather be Duke.
Okay. I'd rather be Louisville.
And you know what?
A week from now, I'll ask you this question. We both might pick Florida State.
We might. And I'll say this. I hope we get to see Duke, Louisville, and Greensboro.
I do too.
I really hope we get to see that game again. Because there's some big-time players on that deal.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we've got three really good teams.
I hope we get to see Louisville, Florida State, or Duke, Florida State. I hope we get to see all three of them. And if Virginia wants to be in the dance or, you know, Syracuse,
chalk it up in Greensboro, give me the best four.
I don't think we're going to get the best four. Don't think it's going to happen. There'll be an outlier, work their way in there. What happened last year here in Charlotte with the top four? That doesn't happen. That's an irregular event at the ACC championship. By the way, I have a question. And you can – I know we got Quentin Hillsman coming up here in a second. I was asked by Adam Gold and Joe Ovius on radio yesterday in Raleigh about the ACC, the infamous ACC index card. Number one, how long have you done the infamous ACC
Since
index
1997.
Card? Okay. So I told him it was 20 years. You have them all. You've kept them. What's the update on the index card this week? Because they were curious after all of last week's things and – you know, close games and rivalries and everything else. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, right there
updated
in the man's hand.
What do you want to know? I even wrote them out here.
What do we got in both categories?
I got free throw attempt margin, if you want it.
That's
I got
it.
Free throw attempts. I got foul margins and fouls.
Okay.
What do you want?
Let's have all four. Who are the leaders?
Who's the best in each category?
Mm-hmm.
Free throw attempt margin. Miami's one.
Yeah, I told them yesterday they'd be surprised to know Miami leads
Miami's
in free throw
one,
attempts.
Syracuse two, Louisville three.
Wow. Okay.
The best three. The worst two in that department, NC State's the worst. 65 to the negative.
That's a big difference. 131?
Miami's plus 66. NC State's negative 65.
Wow. Okay.
Florida State's the next worst.
All right.
All right. Free throw attempts. Wake is the best. Wake's number one.
Wow.
North Carolina's two.
Okay.
That'll bother some people.
That will bother some people.
The worst two are Florida State's the worst.
Only how many?
Florida State shot 179, Wake shot 313.
Okay.
Foul margin. Miami's the best in the league.
Jim Larranega knew it, too.
That's why when we asked him that question,
he knew. He knew.
Notre Dame's right behind him. So Miami's negative 37, Notre Dame 36 in the hole. North Carolina is third.
Ooh.
That'll cause a problem.
That'll be a problem.
The worst in the league is Georgia Tech and then Florida State. The worst.
Okay.
And then fouls in ACC games. Notre Dame's the best, followed by Virginia.
They never commit fouls, Notre Dame. The other night, you noticed Virginia had to foul three times to get down to the end.
That was hilarious. The country. Notre Dame, Virginia are 1-2. The worst two are Wake and Georgia Tech.
So Georgia Tech's bad in foul margin and fouls.
Yeah, it's a bad combo. But it wasn't bad last night because they put on a show beating Louisville.
Was not.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
But our man Q, coming off win number 300, as Syracuse upset Louisville over the weekend. He's always dashing. He's always got some fun stuff to us. And we had a chance to touch base with him yesterday. And we asked him point blank, that win over Louisville has got to go down as one of his all-time great wins.
Yeah, it definitely was. But we played well. We came out and we knew what our situation was. We had to win that game just to stay relevant in the conference and to stay relevant in postseason play. So our kids really, really came out and played well.
Coach, it's a career win 300. I don't know that they can write a script much better than that. It's an important win for your team. It's an important win. It's a monumental win with career win 300, and it's against one of the better teams in the country. So that had to feel good Sunday night now.
It did. We played well, like I said, but obviously, man, to get win number 300, I didn't know if I get win number one. Win number one was tough. And win number 300 was just as tough. I mean, we just played well, and the kids came out with urgency. We knew what we had to do, man, to stay relevant, and they just really got it done.
It's also a reinforcement to your team that guess what? You beat Louisville, you can beat anybody in the league, you can beat anybody in the country.
Yeah, it's no question. We've been that way all year long, you know, with our schedule playing Oregon, playing Stanford, Michigan State, West Virginia. I can just go down the list of our non-league opponents, but they're all highly ranked teams and very good basketball teams. So we knew we had been battle tested and we knew that we could play with anybody in the country, and the Louisville game really, really, really helped our team's confidence.
Coach, you talked to us back before the season started about Kiara Lewis and how important she was going to be to your team. And Sunday, I thought she showcased that value and did a great job leading your basketball team.
She did. Kiki has been fantastic. I told her at the end of the year, we got to give her a backpack for carrying us this year because she's been getting it done. Anytime we've needed a big game, Kiki has stepped up and played well for us. So hopefully she can continue to play that way.
Well, it's going to be a big Thursday night in ACC women's basketball. Obviously, your team visits North Carolina. You both are trying to find your way to solidify spots, not only for the tournament seed, but also for potential postseason invitation as well. But, Coach, make no mistake here. We got a top 10 game on the calendar in this league tonight. What's that mean, and what does it say about this conference to have those kinds of stakes when Louisville and NC State play later tonight?
Well, you know what happens is you have these leagues, and somebody says, you know, four teams are going to get in, five teams are going to get in, so NC makes your conference bad, which is the furthest from the truth. We have really good teams in our conference, and I think that what happens is that as you go through our conference, we end up knocking each other off and beating each other up, and then it looks different. Our teams can play with anybody in the country. That's going to be a unbelievable game, and you know, both of those teams are going to end up being in the Final Four.
I know you worry about only the next game, but do you not sneak peek every now and then, Q, and just say, hey, you know what, if we can take care of this one, and we got ourselves in a good spot. Do you ever find yourself doing that?
You try not to, but obviously at this point in the season, you understand what's at stake, and I've kept it real simple. We got to win them all. That's our goal, just go win them all.
Well, you've been to seven straight NCAA tournaments. You know how the grind works this time of year. Is that something you got to kind of put your team in a silo from game to game then?
You do. Because I think that being in this spot, you understand, you know, some years the number is you got to win 10 in the conference, you got to win 11, you got to win 12. I'm not sure what the number is with 18 games, but I know that if we win the rest of them, we'll be in good shape.
What's been the most pleasant surprise in terms of watching this team develop as the year goes on? What's the one aspect of this team that today is far superior to where it was back in October, November?
Their camaraderie. I think coming into the season, we had a lot of players been competing for playing time at the same positions. And that makes it tough. You know, when you have competition, they all want to play. They all are competitive. They all want to win. But I think now we have so many different contributors to our success that they're starting to play together a lot more. I mean, the team camaraderie is great. And I just try to stay away from them just so I don't screw it up.
That's our secret.
Yeah. We try and do the same thing.
Stay out of the way, man. That's the key.
With Carolina on the dock tonight and the game ahead, Courtney Banghart's come in from the Ivy League and done a phenomenal job in Chapel Hill. Obviously, you kind of knew of her body of work. Are you surprised they've had the kind of success they've had in the first year with her at the helm?
Not at all. Courtney is a great coach. She's done an amazing job there at Princeton. I mean, she was the team that was on that do not schedule list. You know, you didn't want to play them, and now she's at Carolina with these. We're great athletes, and I mean, Courtney's doing a great job. She's tearing it up. I always tease her. I'm just glad she's not playing because she can really shoot it.
Well, you know, that's the last thing you need,
that's
Coach.
That's the last thing, yeah.
Come on.
There's no question.
You don't need that aggravation for crying out loud. Oh, my God. So what needs to happen between now and the start of the ACC tournament for your squad? What's the key number one thing other than, hey, get the W? We know that's a given. But what's the most important thing for your team?
I think we just got to stay healthy and keep everybody on the floor. We want to keep our rotation solid. We want to be able to play, you know, 9-10 players a night, and that helps our pressure. That helps us play fast, and that's the key right now, trying to keep our team healthy and get there with our entire roster.
All right. We appreciate the time as always. Great to have you with us. Good luck tonight in Chapel Hill, Coach.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
Always fun to spend time with Quentin Hillsman.
He's a cool dude, man.
Yeah.
That's a great win, though. Number 300. He'll remember that one forever, but this is a big game tonight with North Carolina. Ooh.
When you think about tonight, not only the headliner, right? But you mentioned this earlier in the week. The women's standings are starting to shuffle back and forth almost every week.
Well, we keep talking about from the men's side, how many are going to get in the tournament, right?
Right.
Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? I think the women, the number's around six, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
This game tonight, Syracuse, North Carolina, is one of those kind of games, kind of like NC State, Syracuse the other night and on the men's side.
Right.
It's one of those games you better win.
Yep.
If you lose, it hurts. So while all eyes will be on NC State, Louisville, pay attention to Syracuse, North Carolina tonight as well. It's a very important game.
About halfway home here on a Thursday.
Busy, though.
Kevin Keats is coming up. We'll talk about, we got wrestling.
Rock
Harrison, 9:30. You excited about that?
I am. I am.
I know. We've had fun with wrestling.
NC State, Virginia Tech. Again, the men's deal here, right? Four teams in the top nine in the country.
Mm-hmm.
ACC wrestling.
Yeah.
Just telling you.
Yeah.
So you got a little NC State Virginia Tech action this weekend. We have that Friday night. It's going to be great.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
A little hesitant about this segment?
I am.
Yeah, so am I. This might not end well.
Well, I'm sure it won't.
Yeah, it won't. So Josh Macri and Drew Brooks have crafted a brand new segment on this show, and I'm going to let them explain because that's what they do.
We want to see how well you know ACC lacrosse players. One of the things that is always said about lacrosse players is they have the best names. And okay. So we're going to compare ACC lacrosse players or Oscar nominees. First and foremost, did either one of you watch the Oscars on Sunday?
No. Yes.
No. Oh, you did? You might be very good at this then.
No. I will not be.
No, I did not watch any of the Oscars.
Just out of curiosity, are you a movie guy? Did you watch a lot of the films that were nominated?
One of the things that my wife and I have done is on Sundays, instead of watching the NFL, I know the ESPN folks are not going to be happy with me on this, but instead of going and watching NFL football, we go to the movies on Sunday. Number one, the place is empty. Number two, we have our pick of whatever we want. And number three, it makes Oscar night a little more bearable that you've actually watched some of these flicks. So there you go.
Going to the movies is like a $50 proposition, though.
Well, when you're paid like we are, it really doesn't matter.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah, that was
breathe,
an evil laugh.
Breathe.
I was working Sunday night. Couldn't be in a. Didn't want to watch the Oscars. Couldn't watch the Oscars. I had Notre Dame at Clemson.
It's not going to help us in this.
It's not going to help.
I mean, anyway. Really, you probably won't.
Okay,
let me,
so
let me just ask a question. Is this basically, are we talking about popular lacrosse players, names we would know?
We're talking about lacrosse players. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's they're lacrosse players.
Okay, good. All right.
Just out of curiosity.
Before we start, can I grab the Virginia Lacrosse National Championship helmet? Can that help
us?
Yes,
absolutely. That will definitely help you. There are at least two Virginia lacrosse players on this list.
Well, I like our chances of figuring that
thanks.
One out.
Thanks. We'll look here and see if we can sort it out.
All right, we're going to start with the very first one.
Okay.
ACC lacrosse player or Oscar nominee, Bong Joon-ho.
See, I know this one just because of watching
this
the
is
Oscars
an Oscar nominee,
and,
right?
And Parasites. I know the answer to this one.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go that route. I was going that route anyway before you told
Hollywood.
Me.
Hollywood.
Right. Okay, we win.
Right. But I will tell you, I would not have gotten that right without watching the Oscars Sunday night.
All right. We're off to a really good start.
Get hard. Okay. ACC lacrosse player or Oscar nominee, Ryan Johnson. Ryan spelled R-I-A-N.
I know this one, too.
I'm going to say ACC lacrosse player.
Wrong. That's Hollywood. I just saw the flip.
That is Hollywood. He wrote the best original screenplay for something called Knives Out.
I just saw the movie. It's fantastic. My man, James Bond plays a detective in there, and where he has a Southern accent.
I think the last movie I went to was Draft Day, starring Kevin Costner.
That was a great movie. I loved it. ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee Basil Auburn.
Oh, of course, this is
spell it, please.
This is going to be
B-A-S-I-L-A-B-U-R-N.
I'm going to say ACC lacrosse player.
Well, give me
that is
give
correct.
Wait a minute. What was the name again?
Basil Auburn.
Who does Basil play for?
Syracuse.
Cuse. All right.
We have a picture, I'm guessing. Right. There we go, right there.
Well, I never guessed that one.
You could have shown me that and told me that guy was in Hollywood.
Right. That guy looks like a Hollywood star.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, next on the list, ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee, Logan Dieball.
Oh, that's got to be lacrosse. Dieball? Come on. It's got to be lacrosse.
No, I'm going Oscar nominee.
No,
I'm going Oscar.
He is a Syracuse lacrosse player.
There you go, Logan Dieball.
Did Macri pick all these?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is every lacrosse player from Syracuse on this?
No. Segment? I already told you there's two from Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys feeling good about yourselves right now, aren't you?
Actually, we're on a pretty good run.
I never feel good about myself.
All right.
ACC lacrosse player or Oscar nominee, Peyton Wisnant.
Peyton is his first name? Is lacrosse.
Correct.
Peyton
Wisnant.
Oscar nominee.
No. His name is Peyton. That is going to be
North Carolina lacrosse.
That it doesn't shock me at all. That's how
you're,
I deducted
you're
that.
You're 0-for, Wes.
No, I got Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah, that was easy. We gave you that one.
Full layup.
Next one, ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee, Kian Alexo.
Go ahead, Mr.
Spell it.
K-I-A-N-O-L-E-X-O.
I'm going to go lacrosse.
I'm going to stick with Oscar nominee till I get one.
That is correct, Mark Packer. He plays for Virginia.
All right, there it is.
That is Kian Alexo. All right, our next one. ACC lacrosse player, Oscar nominee, Theo Dahl.
Spell it.
T-H-E-O. D-O-L. It's also on the screen.
Theo Dahl. I'll
I'm going to say Oscar nominee.
No, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go lacrosse.
I think his name is on the helmet Wes is currently holding. He is a Virginia lacrosse player.
I tell you what, if they're all
Wes, when are you
going to
get a hold of this pattern?
We're going to figure this thing out.
All right, next on the list. Good luck, Wes. ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee, Noah Baumbach.
Gee, he's a lacrosse player.
No. Noah Baumbach is a producer.
Sort of. He wrote the best original screenplay for Marriage Story.
Lacrosse. That guy's a lacrosse player.
He is not currently in the ACC.
Oh, okay.
Maybe his next movie will be about lacrosse. All right. ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee, Cameron Moulet.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Is it Mule or Moulet? That's a bit, because I have no idea, but you got to get the name right.
Is one? I'm going to go with Moulet, but I honestly,
it
I don't
has
know.
The accent mark on it.
Oscar nominee.
I'm going to go Oscar.
Duke lacrosse.
Oh man.
Wes, man, I'm trying here.
No, you're not.
I was thrown by a terrible accent in Bristol.
This was going to be bad from the beginning.
All right. ACC lacrosse player Oscar nominee, Rodrigo.
5 minutes late to this segment.
Yeah, you should have. Rodrigo Prieto.
Oh, I'm going Hollywood. That just sounds Hollywood.
I'm
going
to go lacrosse here.
Best cinematographer for The Irishman.
Right. Had to be.
Irish All right, this too long. If I ever go see another movie, it won't be that one.
I'm not thinking Rodrigo Prieto.
This, by far, the next one is my favorite name on the entire list. Is it an ACC lacrosse player or an Oscar nominee? Wheaton Jacobois.
By the way, real quick.
I know this one.
Before you answer.
I know this one.
Before you answer, Drew Brooks has talked more in this segment than he has collectively in the previous 119 shows.
That could be true. But I've heard of this dude.
How would you know how much I talked yesterday morning?
I think he's a lacrosse player at Notre Dame.
Wheaton Jacobois?
Yep.
You're going to say lacrosse player? You think he's at Notre Dame?
I think he's at Notre Dame.
Do you really? Sure, I'll go lacrosse player.
Congratulations. He is a Notre Dame lacrosse player.
I've heard of it. Believe it or not, I've actually heard that name.
Should we just stop since Wes finally got one?
No, let's
do you want
keep
to try
going.
To go for two? Okay, no, we'll go
like
to two
Hornets. Man. It's like the Hornets. He's on a roll.
I'm on a roll.
And here comes the All-Star break. ACC lacrosse player or Oscar nominee, Auden Mankey.
Oof. I'm going to go back to Oscar nominee.
No, you know what? I don't trust you. I'm going opposite. I'm going opposite of Wes. When he goes Oscar, I go opposite.
It is a Notre Dame lacrosse player. He is Wheaton's teammate. All right, Wes. Let's see if we can get back on the trail. We have two more names. Let's finish on a positive here. Two more names. ACC lacrosse player, Oscar nominee, Lawrence Scher.
Wait a minute. Are you sure that's how you pronounce that?
I know how it's spelled. I don't know about how anything is pronounced.
I'm sensing it's like Laurent Cherie. So that would be Hollywood.
And if you pronounce it Lawrence Scher, Wes, what would you think?
ACC lacrosse player.
Best cinematography for The Joker. That was my fault, Wes. I set you up for that. All right, last but not least, probably not going to pronounce this one correctly either. ACC lacrosse player. Exactly. Or yeah. Oscar nominee, Reigns Schamberger.
I'm going to go Oscar nominee.
Well, if you go Oscar, I'm going lacrosse.
Great. Go ahead.
Duke lacrosse. Wes went 1-for-20. Congratulations. Don't worry. We won't do that again.
No, we got to do that again. You know why? Because it's too good not to do.
You are uncanny, dude.
It's like who he play for inside the NBA.
You are uncanny. You really are. You're uncanny.
I knew it was going to be bad from the start, kids. I'm not gonna
but I do you. Think that we got hosed a little bit with the actual pronunciation of some of those names.
You could have had Oscar winners and been just as effective, by the way.
Yeah.
You could have done that and I would have... I would have scored the same number.
Does your dog bat? That's not my dog.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's funny. That's a funny bet.
Hey, put yourselves down. Nice job, guys. That was good. A lot of work went into that. I appreciate everybody doing that.
That's funny.
I should have shown up 5 minutes late for that one.
There's an idea. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there's an idea.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
The Friday Night Duels, NC State, Virginia Tech tomorrow night. Should be a blast. We got big-time ACC women's game tonight with Louisville and NC State. And a lot going on, man.
Softball, 10 o'clock today. No replay of Packer and Durham for you on ACC Network. We're going to send you the St. Pete Clearwater Elite Invitational. Two ACC teams are in this unbelievable field of softball, and we've got coverage for you at 10 a.m. here on ACC Network. Tiffany Green and Kayla Bro will be there as Virginia Tech meets Oklahoma State. That's on Field 8, by the way.
Field 8.
Field 8 at 10 a.m.
10 sharp.
So looking forward to showing you some softball here. We had softball yesterday as well.
How about the story, though, last night?
Yeah,
no hitter at Clemson, South Carolina. A no hitter. First home win ever in the program is a no-hitter.
How about that?
Goofy as that.
John Rittman got it going on a little bit, doesn't he?
I mean, the first game Clemson ever plays is a softball program. They beat St. John's. Their first home win ever
is a no-hitter.
Is a no-no.
It's kind of cutting right into the old record book off the top, aren't you?
A lot of magic down that third base line, Wes.
Oh, Pack.
Just telling you. A lot of magic. Check this out.
8-0 yesterday.
Place is sold out.
Look at this. Zip.
Now, the Tigers lost game one.
Mm-hmm.
This is game two. But we're going to go a little no-no to put that one in the
cup. I mean,
that's one of the all-timers, right?
Yep.
First win ever at home is a no-hitter.
Yeah.
There it is. Flip wedge.
Is that where you used to hit them?
Pretty close.
Right there. Clemson gets the win. Dabo's there. Dexter Lawrence sitting there with him, by the way.
Sure is.
Big Dex.
Big Dex, how's Big Dex getting that seat, man?
I don't know. Backhoe? That's a big dude for that chair now.
Big Dex now. He's a grown man.
Dex is a grown man.
That's cool. That's a cool story.
So, anyway, congratulations to Coach Rittman and the Clemson Tigers. Big news there. Big news tonight is NC State Louisville, 8 o'clock here on ACC Network. Top 10. It's common ground in men's basketball. We have them occasionally in football. But tonight in women's basketball, I can't think of a bigger game in recent memory, Pack, of two teams in the top 10.
For the ladies you're talking
about?
Oh, yeah, totally agree. And the thing is, we've had this anticipation of this game for about a month because NC State and Louisville have been playing at such a great rate that there was some separation with the ladies in their bracket. So you kind of knew – hey, circle the date, February 13th. It's going to be a big deal in Raleigh. And again, Wes Moore was on with us yesterday. He was talking about, you know, scalpers going to get $300 of tickets outside. I mean, this is a hot ticket.
Yep.
People are excited about it. Louisville, I know they've lost two in a row. I think it makes them even more dangerous tonight, to be honest with you. And this is kind of a loser leave town match in terms of first place.
Yeah. A year ago, we had, top three in men's basketball. Number one, Duke, and number three, Carolina at Cameron.
But we've had a gazillion of those.
Those happen on a regular basis. Lacrosse had one of those last year. The Final Four, you had two of the best programs in the conference, Virginia and Duke. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Virginia Tech football game last year was a big game, but it wasn't top five like this is.
No.
You had Notre Dame and Louisville a year ago, and that was 4-3 in the ACC Women's Basketball Championship. Here's the lacrosse game a year ago, 3-2. That was 13-12 at the Final Four.
I mean, we've had some soccer matchups involving top five, top 10 getting after each other, especially postseason play.
Yep. Field hockey, we've had same thing.
But this one tonight, you can kind of sense that this is a big deal tonight.
Regular season game. I mean, yeah, you had Louisville, Notre Dame in the tournament last year, but here tonight's a regular season game. You could see them twice. Might even see this game could be played three times. before the year's over.
And when we had Debbie Antonelli on in hour number one, we talked about just an incredible opportunity for NC State and the job that Wes has done.
Yep.
And turning that around, she mentioned the Shades of Blue had a head start when he got there, and now he's kind of turned it on him a little bit. From that perspective, NC State's been consistently good. We've known Louisville, the job Jeff Walls has done, for such a long period of time now, that they've kind of become a standard from that perspective, in addition to Notre Dame and Muffet and the great job she's done. But this is a really golden opportunity for Westmore and NC State. And we've talked about how hungry that fan base is to win a championship of note, mm-hmm. right? I mean, yeah. They've made great investments from a football and a basketball perspective on the men's side. But here's the women's team with a chance tonight, with a win, to number one, basically distance themselves from everybody else in the league and go on to win the regular season.
I think if you go back to NC State, and of course Kay Yao, they went to a Final Four in her great legendary tenure in Raleigh. You've had great players over there in the women's program. Debbie's certainly one of them. I mean, just from a standpoint of – you know, the consistency they had. He's now brought this program back now to levels it's rarely seen. And now you're talking about a chance to take the next step. A win tonight for NC State would be huge. I mean, you know, trying to get back to a Final Four, trying to do that type thing in Raleigh, and he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. He's done a phenomenal job.
Well, I just go back to the scene that you saw last Friday. When NC State and North Carolina in a wrestling match mm-hmm. in the duel.
Yep.
And the place was packed. It was intense. People were going crazy. And that, I mean, that passion that you see is a fan base that is really in dire need to kind of want to hug something and go, guess what?
Right.
That's ours.
That's
we
it.
Can have nice things. That's kind of the running joke at times on the show. And tonight is one of those kind of games. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're going to have to go through Louisville to do it. Which is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I know Notre Dame's down this year. Normally we'd say it goes through either Louisville or Notre Dame. And Muffet will get their program back, there's no doubt. But, you know, Louisville's been a standard in this league. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to become a champion, you just kind of understand that, hey, you know what? To do that, we've got to beat that team. And like I said, Jeff's lost the last two. They're not used to losing games. They're now whole for this game. I think they will be highly motivated to go into that hostile environment tonight and put on a show.
Well,
it'll
be fun. You got players all over the floor. We talked about it with Debbie. You got Kunane and Shook inside. You got Koenig, who's such a great threat shooting the ball for NC State. Dana Evans, one of the top players in the ACC in the women's game, could be the player of the year in the league. Certainly will contend for it. You know, it's just a great matchup, and it should be a lot of fun to watch what happens tonight in Raleigh.
And let's be honest, too. These two teams have separated themselves from everybody else. Florida mm. State's playing better, but they've been, you know, stepped down versus where these two are right now. Doesn't mean Florida State can't go on and possibly win the ACC mm. tournament and so forth. But these are the two best teams right now in the ACC, and tonight they get a chance to put on a show eyeball to eyeball on ACC Network with a ton at stake.
Yep.
Can't ask for more.
We got a doubleheader for you. Duke is at Pittsburgh to start things tonight at 6, and then Pam Ward and Debbie Antonelli will be in Raleigh for the ball game. By the way, you mentioned the separation. It's two full games, NC State and Louisville's advantage over Florida State, and it's 3 over Virginia Tech and Duke. Boy, Kenny Brooks has done a nice mm-hmm. job this year in Blacksburg. And
that's why Syracuse, North Carolina tonight is another one of those games in terms of the bubble for the yeah. ACC in terms of the NCAA tournament. It's a huge game yep. as well.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.